I want to encourage you this morning to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As we get ready to open the Word and read it together, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you again this morning that we can be gathered here. And now, Lord God, as we open your Word together, I pray that you would illuminate our hearts by the power of your Spirit to hear your Word and understand it and be captivated by it. Lord God, I just pray that you would speak through my mouth this morning. Help our ears to hear. Help us to know how good you are and what you've called us to. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the end of the year, right? It's the end of the year, which means New Year's resolution time or goal setting. Some of you probably have some sort of New Year's resolution already. You're thinking about some kind of activity you want to accomplish in the new year, what that might look like. This is often the time of year that gyms fill up with people, right? I had a gym membership for a couple years myself. And I know that around January, February, it was full. By March, it was tapering off, and soon there was nobody, right? And diets are the same. We start with diets, and diets sound really good, and then 2 weeks later, we're tempted by a pizza, and it's over, right? I know some of you in 2018 did like an 18 for 18 challenge. I don't know if you're doing a 19 for 19 challenge. I don't know what you're going to do when it's like 50 for 50. But we set goals, right? So I was thinking about what goal I was going to set for myself in the new year. And I really didn't feel like exercise or dieting were it this time. And so here's my goal. This is like the anti-resolution. I'm going to bake my way through this amazing bakery recipe book. Y'all ready? Because if I find some good recipes, you'll be blessed by this, all right? If I don't find any good recipes, I want to share, then you'll know that I enjoyed them anyways by the end of the year. But for me, this is like an opportunity to like, I love to bake, right? This is one of the things I love to do. And if I can bake my way through this book, I think it'll be refreshing and enjoyable. We have resolutions and goals. But what I want us to think about this morning is what kind of resolution can we have for 2019, or what kind of goals can we set? How can we look ahead related to our faith? How can we look ahead related to what God might be calling us to? A few minutes ago, Caitlin was up here and giving her testimony, and she made a profession of faith, and that's wonderful, right? We love that. We love that she's done it. I am thrilled as a parent this morning, but we all acknowledge, and I said this a few minutes ago too, that this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of her faith journey, at least publicly. She's come up, she's made this statement, but she has the rest of her life to grow. And if you've been a part of a congregation or you've been following Jesus for a long time, you know that there's a lot of room to grow. Some of you have been growing for a long time. And the finish line isn't here yet. Right? The finish line actually doesn't show up until either we die or we see Jesus face to face because he has returned. And so in the meantime, as we're here on earth now, we're running a race. Running a race with Jesus, basking in his generous love, knowing about the good news. We know that Jesus has died for us. We know that he has given everything for us. We just came out of Advent talking about radical hospitality. We saw how God chose to descend in Jesus, to take on our flesh, to live in this amazing, obedient life for God the Father. And in grace that's hard to fathom, we saw him. We saw how he dies on the cross in our place, and the curse is broken. It's great news. In the letter to the Romans, Paul spends a considerable amount of time in the first 11 chapters kind of talking about and setting up who Jesus is and why his ministry is so important. He talks about who we are and why we're a mess and why we need Jesus so much. And then at the end of chapter 11, he does this. He has kind of this beautiful doxology and says things like, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? He just praises God for how great he is by sending Christ and redeeming us. And then as he turns to chapter 12, or as we turn to chapter 12, and we look at that, what we see is Paul saying, in light of the gospel, in light of who Christ is, here are some real implications for how we get to live. And so we see chapter 12 through 15, a lot of gospel implications, what it means to follow Christ in this world. We're not going to cover them all today. We're barely touching chapter 12. But what I want us to see this morning is that following Christ, like Caitlin has professed this morning, means a life of gospel implications, gospel working in us to bear fruit. So we're going to read the text now. We're going to try to unpack it a little bit. Romans 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There ends the reading of the Word of God for now. So again, chapter 12 starts with this therefore, right? Paul is saying, in light of God's mercy, in light of everything God has done for us in Jesus, therefore I urge you to live a particular way. Now, urge is an important word because it is not command. Paul does not say, in light of who Jesus is, I now command you to live this way. Because command doesn't work. If we're commanded to do something, we often chafe at it, right? If somebody, as kids, if your parents tell you to do something, more often than not, you're like, I'm not going to do that. Like when we say, can you empty the dishwasher? And they're like, we already did that yesterday. Right? They don't want to do it. They don't understand that it fills up every single day. Like, command doesn't work. And even when people do respond to commands, it's generally not with gratitude in their hearts. It becomes a legalistic thing. And so it's crucial for us to understand that when Paul says, I urge you, it's connected to that therefore, that he is saying, look, because of Jesus and everything Jesus has done and because of what he means for you, I'm urging, I am pleading or begging you to understand that there is a particular way to live for Jesus. And so Paul says, with this urging or this pleading to the Roman people, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And when I think about body this morning and the way Paul is using that, it's important for us to grasp that he is talking about our entire self. Many times when we talk about evangelism or leading someone to Jesus, we'll say things like, there's a whole like Jesus in your heart that only he can fill, right? Or give your heart to Jesus. And none of that is necessarily bad, but that is not all that Jesus wants. Jesus wants our heart to belong to him, to love him, to be focused on him. That's part of Caitlin talking about her testimony even with the elders. There's a piece of this where the heart belongs to Jesus, but God actually wants everything. God wants your entire body to be offered to him as a living sacrifice. Paul is essentially saying, when Paul says this, He's not saying give your heart to Jesus. He is essentially saying give everything you have as a sacrifice to Jesus. In fact, I'm pretty confident you won't find anywhere in the New Testament where it says give your heart to Jesus. Now, Jesus says that following God means love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but it's not alone, right? It's coupled with the mind. It's coupled with the body. It's coupled with this entire thing. God wants everything. And so we're commanded to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God because of the grace and mercy of Jesus who has given everything to us. And so as I was thinking about this week and doing some reading, one commentator kind of helped to understand what does it mean to give our bodies as living sacrifices? What does it mean for Jesus to really reign over us completely? And he said this, when we offer our bodies as sacrifices, our feet walk in his path. Our lips speak the truth and spread the gospel. Our tongues will bring healing. Our hands will lift up those who have fallen. Our arms will embrace the lonely and the unloved, and our ears will listen to the cries of the distressed. This is just a glimpse of what it means to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. It means that every single aspect of who we are is in line with Jesus. Now, this sounds amazing, but this is hard, right? This is hard because so often we are tempted to do our own thing. We're tempted to walk our own path. There is temptation all the time to speak lies. It's tempting to use our tongues to tear other people down or speak poorly of them to other people and gossip. It's tempting to use our hands to push people away and make them feel distant and isolated. It's tempting sometimes, right, to cross our arms and say, that's not my problem. And it can be tempting as well to close our ears to the noise of the distressed in the world, but that's not the way of Jesus. To offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Jesus is to do as he pleases and for his purposes. Paul actually says, holy and pleasing to God. These are acts that are set apart. They're different than what the world would expect. They are bringing glory and pleasure to the Lord Most High when we actually offer our entire selves to him. To do that means sacrifice, right? The sacrifice piece I think is really important because to really offer our bodies this way to God means we have to sacrifice something. We may have to sacrifice some of our position in the world. It may mean we have to sacrifice looking cool with the people we work with. It may mean we have to sacrifice fitting in at school. It may mean a whole lot of things that are really difficult, but it's so crucial to our faith because Paul goes on to say that as we do this, it's our spiritual act of worship. That in offering our bodies to Christ to do as he pleases, to proclaim his word, to be like him, we're actually worshiping God. Now, so often when we talk about worship, we talk about what happens here on Sunday morning, this corporate environment, which is really special, and it's vital, and we need it to grow and to flourish as Christians. But this is not the only worship we offer to God. Our lives lived out in glory for Christ is an act of worship. Now, it's fascinating to know, and I don't know what you'll think about this, but in the Greek here, the word spiritual is not the word spiritual. It's this Greek word logikos, which means logic or rational. So Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and pleasing to him. This is your rational act of worship. That sounds kind of weird, right? That doesn't mean there's not a spiritual component. It doesn't mean there's not an emotional component. But what Paul is saying essentially is this. If we totally understand the loving sacrifice of Jesus and the depth God has gone to redeem us, then it is very rational to worship God by giving him everything we have. In other words, it just makes sense. There's a component to our faith that actually does involve our mind, even though in a moment we're going to see that the mind needs some help. There's a rational component to our faith that helps us to understand who Jesus is and why it honestly just makes sense to worship him. I mean, we understand it, right? When we understand that Jesus has given us everything, we begin to understand that we want to give him everything as well, our entire self, heart, mind, body, everything, to worship him. And this is where the Holy Spirit becomes so important for us, because the Holy Spirit is the one working in us to redeem our body, to redeem our heart, to redeem our mind, to actually worship, to actually make this rational decision, to actually bow before our Lord and serve him with everything we have. But here's the thing. As the Holy Spirit works in us to redeem and renew us, ourselves are still tainted by sin. Our mind is still wrestling with sin. Our heart is wrestling with sin. Our body is wrestling with sin. And so every day, every moment, in fact, there is a battle, a war of sorts going on where our body, our mind, our sinful self is battling the Holy Spirit to see which way we're going to go. This is why Paul goes on to say, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are tricky. They're rational. They help us understand Jesus and worship him and love him and follow him. But our minds are also tricky, because as great as that sounds, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do everything he's told me to do. I'm going to serve in a new way today. I'm going to set a resolution to join a Bible study. I'm going to set a resolution to join Kids Hope. I'm going to be involved because I know Jesus loves me and I want others to love him too. As soon as we step out the door, our mind goes, yeah. Are you sure about that? I mean, if you do that, then it means you probably can't watch the Lions and Packers battle for last place today. Right? Or maybe our mind does something like this. I know this happens. I know this happens. Our minds say something like this. Yeah, you know, that sounds like a great opportunity to serve Jesus, but the reality is I'm too old and I'm retired. It's somebody else's job. Or maybe the mind says, I'm too young and I don't really have any gifts and I just need somebody else to do this for me because I'm too busy. I'm in a phase of life right now. It's all about me. Or maybe the excuse is maybe even simpler than that, and it's just that stinking busy excuse, right? Like, I'm so busy that if I were to do this, it would mean my life was overflowing and I just can't do it because I don't want to give up something else in my week. I need my me time. I got to have that hour and a half at the coffee shop every day so that I can be refreshed. Right? We make excuses, and this is really where our mind is tricky, and sin is working overtime to help us not commit to going towards Jesus. Jesus has sacrificed everything to come to us, and we struggle to sacrifice most things to go to him. The Holy Spirit is working overtime to battle that sinfulness. And we have a choice every day. Again, are we going to lean into the Holy Spirit, or are we going to lean into our sinful, excuse-filled mind? We need the Holy Spirit daily, really minute by minute, to help our minds understand who Jesus is. We need the Spirit to help us understand what he is calling us towards. And as Paul even says, what is good, his perfect and pleasing will is. We need the Spirit's help all the time, because our minds are always going to try to convince us that we can do our own thing. And we struggle to listen for the Holy Spirit because we're not really sure what the Holy Spirit sounds like sometimes. And so I know for a fact that sometimes we hear the Holy Spirit and we're like, that cannot be right. That makes no sense. I'm not going to go do that thing. I'm not going to use my body in that way to serve the Lord, because that can't be the Holy Spirit. I surely just had some bad pizza last night. Right? We struggle to understand that the Holy Spirit actually does communicate to us in all kinds of ways to help us see and know how he wants us to serve Jesus. See, this renewing of the mind thing is actually really important, because because I'm convinced that most of us here this morning have at some point given our lives to Christ. I don't know all of your testimonies, but I've heard many of them, and I know that many of you love Jesus, and you've given your heart to him. You've been on this quest to follow him. You love him deeply. I believe you're saved. What I'm about to say is not a mode to put some shade on your salvation. I don't want you to leave here today and go, I think I'm not saved. That's not the point. I believe you're saved. But here's the reason we need the renewing of our mind, because almost all of us will struggle throughout the week in one of these ways. We'll struggle by choosing to join in perhaps a crass conversation. Maybe some here will struggle this week with intentionally deciding to pursue perverted thoughts. Maybe you'll struggle this week by choosing to speak out against people who are different than you and whose situations you don't really understand. Maybe you'll struggle this week with some kind of intense anger toward your family or your friends, or maybe you're consumed by mind-altering substances, or maybe you just can't stop spending money or buying things that will make you feel good. And those are all things that, again, Satan and sin are using to distract us from Jesus. They're all things that are a part of our sinful mind that is being renewed and reclaimed and restored by Jesus. And we need the power of the Spirit every moment to push against those things that will make our minds embrace sin. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be praying that the Spirit will fight for us and that we will partner with the Spirit in that fight. Truthfully, we need the body of Christ together for support so that we can share this burden and grow together. Jesus came from heaven to earth to, in many ways, bring heaven here. Jesus has walked among us and died to take care of sin and death. Jesus has come to make all things new. And he's called us to be partners in that restoration project, that kingdom-building mission to help other people come to know and love him. We all have a role to play in that. We are all called to be using our bodies and our minds and our hearts to follow Christ and help others to follow him. I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. Raise your hand if you're alive. Luke? Thank you. All right. Just wanted to make sure, Luke. You're alive. If you are alive, then you have a mission. All right? I'm shooting straight right here. You can't be alive and decide that you are not going to participate in kingdom renewal. I mean, I guess you can, but this is not the will of God. This is why Paul is urging the believers in Rome, saying, offer your bodies. You need to offer your bodies. Christ has given you his body, and he is asking you to give him yours. Everybody has gifts and abilities. We're not even going to get into Romans 12, 3 through 8 very much this morning, if at all. But you see in there's gifts. Everybody here has a gift. Everybody here has an ability. Everybody here has something that they're passionate about and excited about. And God wants you to use that for his kingdom. He's given you a gift. Not just the gift of salvation, which is amazing on its own, but the gift of the Spirit to do great things. He wants you to use those gifts for his kingdom. A few weeks ago, when we met with Kate and Ruby and Megan as elders to hear their profession of faith, one of the things we asked them, which is a question we ask everybody who makes profession of faith, is what gifts and abilities do you have to serve at the church? How are you going to be a part of the congregation? Even at a young age, we want to know, how are you going to be a part of the body of Christ? And all three of them had great answers. What we heard from Kate and Ruby and Megan were things like, they write cards. Some of them are really amazing at writing cards of encouragement. Some of them are really great at empathizing with other people who are hurting. Some of them are already volunteering to help in children's worship, even though they're like a half second older than the kids who are in there. All of them were up front last Sunday worshiping Jesus together in that amazing Christmas program. It's incredible to see these three young kids and other young kids in our congregation, by the way. We have a lot of amazing kids here at Fourth Church who are plugged in and doing cool things. And it's amazing to see them using their gifts and their abilities, and they're doing it at a young age. And in some ways, maybe they're leading the way for the rest of us, because listen, we all have a role to play. As we see these young kids use their gifts and abilities, we want them to keep growing in their gifts and abilities, just like we want, hopefully, each other to keep growing in our gifts and abilities. And our kids, as they grow, are looking at you, and they're looking at me. And what they see in us, modeled as we listen to the Spirit and attempt to follow Him, is crucial. Y'all played a big role in discipling Caitlin and Megan and Ruby. Y'all played a big role. Some of you were her Sunday school, some of you were Kate's Sunday school teachers. Some of you worked with her in gyms and are her special friend. Some of you have just loved her well. Y'all cheered her on when, as a 2-year-old, she couldn't walk. You cheered her on and helped her when she was anxious and struggling. Like, that's the body of Christ. That's using your gifts to edify and to build up for the sake of God. Caitlin has a long time to go. And trust me, she needs more encouragement. She needs more faith building. She needs more people pouring into her life, just like I do. I'm trying to figure out who's the oldest person in the church today. Just like Ed does. I don't know if you're the oldest, Ed. I'm sorry. Just like even Ed needs people pouring into his life, right? Doesn't matter how old we are. We all need people pouring into us, using their gifts and abilities, sacrificing their time and their energy, putting their bodies out for Jesus to do great work. So people of God, as we think about the new year, as we think about the opportunity in 2019 to serve Jesus, to follow Jesus together, to serve others, to share God's love, our mission statement even, I want you to be thinking today about how you can use what the Spirit has given you to bless the kingdom of God, to bless Jesus who's given you everything. Listen, Jesus loves you more than you can dream possible. You know this. I say this all the time to you. He loves you more than you can dream possible, and He wants your heart to love Him. Jesus wants your mind to be renewed by Him. He wants your body to follow Him in grateful obedience. And so, people of God, be encouraged that the Spirit is alive in you. Be encouraged that He has given you opportunities to serve. Don't let the excuses take hold. Don't let your sinfulness reign. Let the Spirit of God reign. Listen to His prompting. Listen to His pulling. Listen to the opportunities He is putting in your life to maybe be uncomfortable for Christ. Walk in trust and faith with the Spirit as He urges you to worship God with every ounce of who you are. And if you don't know what gifts and abilities you have, I would say, come talk to me or another elder and let us work through something with you to figure those gifts out. And we'll pray with you that God will help you identify them so that you can plug in a way that brings life to you, life to the kingdom, and life to Christ. People of God, let Jesus reign over you today. Let's pray. Father God, You are good and merciful. You are glorious. You are patient. You are the epitome of kindness and generosity. God, we see Your generosity on display in this gift of Jesus. God, we just finished celebrating the incarnation, Jesus coming into the world, and we're now in this period as we kind of look forward with anticipation to Easter, the cross, the great work You're going to do. And God, as we think about the cross, as we think about the resurrection, we know, Lord God, that You're powerful and You're mighty and You're here to save. And God, you've saved us from hell, and you're saving us from our sin. You're redeeming us. You're reclaiming us. You already call us your children, but Lord, you, as our Father, want the best for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to listen to the Spirit, the counselor who is telling us how to live for you. And God, I pray that you would compel us by the love of Jesus to be more like him. Shape our lives, Lord God, because we need you to do this work in us. Father God, we're grateful for your love and mercy today. Father, I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.